You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We all have experienced stress, whether fleeting or chronic, and an act of self-care is finding healthy outlets to cope through these really intense times. A Sacramento-based infectious disease physician was facing understandable burnout providing frontline care during the pandemic when she made a commitment to care for herself through creative writing. And what culminated was a debut fiction novel that draws on her own life's parallels of being an American daughter of South Asian immigrants, calling both the United States and Mumbai home. Dr. Archana Maniyar joins us now with her novel, Dry Spells. It is described as a culmination of observations of life, both in the East and the West, years of studying human nature during stress and sickness, and of course, a love for storytelling. Dr. Maniyar, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
What a feat. Well, before we get into your debut book, I would love to just start with your background. Like everyone's story, including one of immigration, it's unique.
Yeah, so I was born here in the United States. And when I was four, my parents decided to move us back to Mumbai, to, at the time, Bombay. And it was a really interesting experience. At the time, I was quite young. I was four, so I don't know that I had a lot of culture shock, but I did acclimate relatively quickly to life in India. A couple years later, my parents decided to move us back to the United States. And I remember a lot more about the move back. I was about six or seven, and I went from living in Bombay, a place where I looked like everybody around me. I was going to school there. I had more cousins than I could count. And suddenly I was thrust into life in suburban on the outskirts of LA. And it was a much more homogenous population, not of Indians, but of non-Indians. And I was one of two, I think, children of color in my grade school. And so that transition was very difficult for me. And I, you know, I missed my family. I missed the warmth of my life in Bombay. And I think a lot of the inspiration behind this novel is this experience of living in different places and trying to develop the sort of comfort with calling them home. Mm.
You also are an infectious disease physician. What drew you to this field of medicine?
Yeah, so I had known very early in my, I shouldn't say career, I guess, when I was in, I think, junior high and high school, that I had wanted to pursue the field of medicine. But I had always flirted with the creative side. I had a very influential English teacher in 10th grade, Phyllis Moloff, who made the act of writing just feel like it was fine art. And I think every day when I walked in her class, I would feel like a little kid who'd got a box of 16 new crayons and had a big canvas to draw on, and just made me fall in love with something as simple as writing a sentence. And so after actually her class in high school, when I went to undergraduate, I knew I was going to pursue studying medicine, and so I majored in biology. But I would always look in the course catalog to see what other classes I was missing in either the humanities or the social sciences, and wound up ultimately deciding to double major and studied political science as well, where I got to do a lot of writing. And so these two interests, medicine and writing, to me had always run in parallel with each other.
And then they kind of intersect because you're doing it as you're working professionally as a physician during a relentless time during the pandemic. How therapeutic was creative writing during this time, during periods of understandable stress?
Yeah, there were certainly times where I had to shelve writing altogether. So I had actually gotten pretty much all the way through writing the first draft of the novel in 2019. And at the time, in addition to working at UC Davis Health, I was also the healthcare system epidemiologist at the VA Northern California Health System. And so I had a job that kind of put me front and center when COVID became an issue in the United States. And so, you know, at that time, I sort of had to shelve the whole idea of writing a novel. There just wasn't enough time in the day. But around 2021, when things started to, you know, we started to kind of understand the infection, the way it was spread, we had our kind of sea legs under us, I pulled the manuscript back out and really found that the act of, you know, sitting down with what I had written and editing and wordsmithing was extremely therapeutic. It was, you know, very focused endeavor. And it was a world I could control. I could control everything from the weather to what people said to one another. And there was, I think it was something that I needed at that time, given everything that was going on in the world simultaneous to that.
Of course, that's a big light bulb moment. I think some people would also think that being a physician and writing fiction, you could have gone different routes in the literary world. You could have wrote nonfiction, articles, short stories. You pursued a fiction novel. Do you see any parallels between the two, being a physician and writing fiction?
Yeah, as a physician, sit down and I talk to patients all day and I hear their stories. I hear how they became ill, what makes them feel better, the socioeconomic issues that might make taking care of themselves difficult. I get to hear about their mental health issues. And so as a physician, I have this unique vantage point into the human experience. And it is just wonderful fodder for a fiction writer to get to have that view, that sort of intimate view into people's lives. And of course, you know, being a fiction writer, I'm not ever writing about the patients I see, but everybody that I interact with kind of informs how I understand people.
You mentioned that you had to table the manuscript, obviously, during the height of the pandemic. When did the story of Dry Spells, your book, begin taking shape?
Yeah, so I kind of had mentioned my interests earlier on, and writing was a big part of them. And, you know, by the time I finished my medical training, so from undergraduate to the end of medical training, it had almost been 10 years of my life. And then I'd had two children. And there just wasn't enough oxygen in the room for that kind of creativity. But I actually, interestingly, attended a workshop at the Sacramento Public Library sometime after the birth of my second child. And we were... it was a writing workshop, so we were given a prompt and we were supposed to write to that prompt. And within about three sentences in, I knew exactly what I needed to do. And it was obviously, being that I worked at two health systems and I had two kids, life was very busy, but I would try to take at least a few days out of the week to sit down and, you know, write a little bit and move the story forward.
And this book, the premise of it, does draw on some parallels of your own life. Did you know that you were going to create a fiction novel that also was inspired by your own lived experience?
Yeah, as a child who went back and forth between Mumbai and here a lot when I was growing up, the city has always captured my imagination. And I knew that it would have to be central to the novel that I wrote. And I think, you know, as a mother and a daughter, I think that was a natural, you know, theme that was going to permeate through the book, which is about mothers and daughters. And so I think there were definitely influences throughout the course of my life that informed what I wrote. But that sort of transcontinental, trying to find home in both places, that was, I think, a huge influence on the themes that are in Dry Spells.
The protagonist, her name is Shyamala. Mm-hmm. How do you describe her? I mean, she reminds me a little bit of you, but how do you describe the main character?
Yeah, I think at the beginning of the story, we find her pretty adrift. She's in her mid-30s. She has just broken up with her boyfriend, who actually left her at the altar. She hasn't had much upward mobility at work, and she's at constant loggerheads with her mother. And so she's just looking for an escape, some new adventure to go on. And by happenstance, she gets offered a promotion of sorts that take her to Mumbai. And that's sort of the premise of the story. I think there are a lot of similarities between her and I, although I would say that she's a lot more sort of candid in what she says than I am. I'm much more reserved.
A major theme, and you touched upon this, there's this tension between mother and daughter. Also, I look at it as two generations as well. How did you navigate that as an author and a writer?
Yeah, I think, you know, as somebody, again, who is a mother and a daughter, I can see both perspectives very well. And it's interesting, I think, as my children grow, and, you know, as I said, I have a daughter, I think the experience that I watch her go through is to some extent what Shyamala goes through in the book. And similarly, you know, I think, you know, I can naturally relate with Shyamala, but I also can relate with her mother very well, having been through the experience of motherhood.
So. Yeah. Pramila wants different things than what Shyamala wants in her life. Yeah. And Shyamala ends up moving to Mumbai, lives with her aunt, Vinny, who is her mother's sister. And after moving away, Shyamala ends up learning a great deal about her own mother. And did you encounter something similar in your life as well? Or do you hope your daughter has the same, or your child has the same for you? How did you put this all together and envision this?
Yeah, I actually am very close to both my daughter and my mother. So this is very fictional, this part of the story. I think one of the things I was always struck by as a child is that my parents told me a lot of stories about India, and it always connected me with who I was. And for the main character, Shyamala, in the book, she doesn't have the benefit of that. And she feels somewhat disconnected for that reason as well. And so this act of sort of unfolding the past is her journey of reconnection with not just her culture, but also her mother and her parents who came before her. Yeah.
I think that can be true for a lot of people. If they have a caregiver, a parent, an elder that they're close to, you can learn a lot from them by talking to other people mm-hmm. that are close to them. You know, sometimes the source isn't always the most illuminating in terms of learning, you know, the different layers of that person.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's very true. And I think also it's sometimes helpful to have the objective outside perspective as well. I think when we live through a trauma or any sort of experience, I think we're not always the most objective people at analyzing it or how it impacted our lives.
There's also the symbolism of drought. I mean, drought in Mumbai is the undertone and I think a catalyst of confronting these two ways of life, you know, that Shyamala is grappling with. You know, when did you decide to use drought and also water, a flood, you know, as symbolism in this book?
Yeah, I think I was probably to some extent influenced by some of the droughts we've struggled with in California. I think, you know, there's that impact. It's like this kind of slow background concern that we have sometimes, you know, about, you know, well, take the shorter shower or don't water the lawn. And then, you know, what does that look like when water supplies run really low and you've got a metropolis with teeming with people? You know, how do people get drinking water? I think it just adds to the kind of stress and dynamic nature of the city to have that additional sort of plot twist.
Where did the name come from? Did you land on that from the beginning, or was it more of a process, dry spells?
Well, it's really interesting because I struggled to find a title for the book. And one Christmas, my husband printed actually the entire manuscript out and put it in a binder. And he thought, well, I better give this thing a name. And he named it Dry Spells. And that was the name that stuck. It was spot on. And, you know, we've intermittently talked about changing it, but we fell in love with it. No, definitely not now. Definitely not now.
Now, the book is publishing this month, correct? Has it already published?
It's already published. Yeah, it published last week, May 1st.
What do you hope people take away?
I think some of the important things that I would like people to take away is, you know, it's a book about, you know, a first generation American. And, you know, I mentioned this whole sort of theme of belonging. But I think in our own ways, whether we're immigrants or not, we all struggle with the same thing. And a lot of it is, you know, maybe abandoning our own expectations a little bit and going with the flow and trying to find the things that we need to make home for ourselves. And I think that's part of what Shyamala does in this book.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Dr. Urchana Maniyar about her debut novel, Dry Spells. You mentioned that you've always had a love, a passion for creative writing, but professionally, you're a physician, you're an infectious disease doctor. What were the biggest challenges? I mean, having the idea is one thing, but having, and also with your life also, you know, just every, there's only 24 hours in a day, and actually following through and penning a novel.
It was a challenge, that's for sure. I think it was particularly a challenge when I still had very young children. So I worked between two hospitals. I had two kids. And usually we were lucky if we could just get through the day and, you know, get everybody's homework done and dinner on the table. And maybe at the end of the day, around 9:30 or 10, if I had a little bit of time, I would, you know, write down a couple sentences. I spent a lot of time on the weekends writing. But the whole endeavor probably started 10 years ago. I mean, it's been a really long process because the thing I needed to write was time, and that was the one thing I was short on. But I think, I think the love for the act of writing was so compelling. It just pushed me forward. And I also have to say that I met a community of writers in Sacramento as I went through the process of writing this book. And, you know, I think that really changed the dynamic. It made it, the process of writing, feel a lot less lonely to have, you know, other people to write with and share the work with before it was in its final form.
There's also no guarantee that a publisher will bite, you know, and you can self-publish, of course, as well. How did you go about shopping your novel around? Because you actually got a two-book publishing deal.
Yeah. I have to say it was extraordinarily challenging, and it took a lot of persistence. I think the default answer oftentimes in the publishing world seems to be no, at least from this author's perspective. I think the key was to just be persistent and not give up, to have faith in the work, which is hard to do when you start getting those first rejections. But I think, you know, the thing about writing fiction is there's an audience, I think, out there. It's just a matter of finding the right one. And I think you just kind of have to stay true to yourself, to the voice that you're trying to pen, and, you know, and just keep persisting. And if, you know, the big publishing deals are hard to come by, but I also know that there are a great many authors who self-publish who are hugely talented. And so that's also a wonderful option for people, too.
Has your family read the book?
They have. So my husband has been an occasional editor. My mom had some creative input, too, and has read it as well. So little by little, it's getting out. I have a cousin who I know, a couple cousins, actually, who have it in their hands as well, who are reading it right now.
After a decade of work, you mentioned it published last week. How does it feel? It must feel a little surreal that the day, the moment is here.
It does. It's hard to believe, actually. And the act of just holding the paper version, the print version of it, was very, very emotional. And then to get to publication day last week was, it was a dream come true.
What advice do you have for someone? I mean, all of us can be creative, you know, whether we actually make the space for it is a completely other different issue. And understandably, it can be really tough with all the other responsibilities that we have in life. If there's someone who wants to have a creative pursuit and really dedicate themselves to it the way that you have with this novel, but maybe doesn't have the confidence or feels a little intimidated, what would you say to them? What advice would you give them?
I think small steps are the key. You know, I look back and I think maybe in the back of my mind I had aspired to have a book that was published, at the beginning. But really that wasn't my focus. My focus was in the art of constructing the next sentence and taking joy out of that act rather than necessarily getting lost in the big picture and the big scheme of things. And I think, I think a lot of us are looking for that creative outlet, and art for art's sake is sufficient. There doesn't need to be some grand plan at the end of it. If it works out that way, it's great. But I think what I found was that for me, just that, you know, writing a few sentences every day was tremendously therapeutic and just made life feel a lot better.
My final question, and I want you to savor the moment about being a published book, but you do have a two-book publishing deal. Have you even thought about, like, what you want the second book to be?
Yes, yes. So I am in the midst of writing book two, actually, right now. And it also is this sort of dual timeline type of construction. So there's a modern timeline that occurs in 2019. And I'm looking at a physician who's burnt out, so based a little bit on my own experience. And she's had this recent personal trauma that kind of causes her to withdraw into her old colonial in Massachusetts. And she happens upon some letters from the distant past, from 1929, that unravel some of her family's history. And the story also tells the story of what is happening in India in 1929, which is a time of a lot of tumult and the beginning of the civil disobedience movement there. So I'm really excited about writing it.
Well, Archana, you're going to have to join us when that one is published.
I would love to.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Archana Maniyar is a Sacramento-based infectious disease physician discussing her debut fiction novel, Dry Spells. It published last week. Still ahead, the city of Sacramento wants to double its tree canopy, and they're asking for the public's help. We'll learn about Sacramento's urban forest plan. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.